This morning I want to ask you a question. And the question is actually the title of my message, and it is, are you giving it your all? Seeing the reminder of Clint and Sharon's anniversary took me back 5 years to me laying in the hospital, not sure what my future was, not really knowing if I was going to be able to come home, what condition I would be in when I came home. Actually coming home and being able to go to their wedding, and then I think within a week I was back in the hospital, back in intensive care. The question I want to ask you this morning with that question, are you giving it your all? Do you have a 5-year plan? Do you have a 1-year plan? Do you have any plan? None of us are guaranteed another hour. None of us are guaranteed another year or 5 years. Being gone this summer gave me two things. One thing, I will tell you that it is a whole lot easier to preach every other Sunday than it is to wait 14 weeks because you can't focus, trust me. It's easier to focus when you're engaged. When you're disengaged and then try to re-engage, trust me, it's not fun. But we're getting there. But there's three questions that I want you to think about. But it gave me time to unplug, but it also gave me time to think about what is important and what do I need to do in the next 5 years. I remember having a conversation with Ray probably a year ago, somewhere in there. And Ray was just all concerned about, I only have so much time to do what I got to do yet. And I'm like, Ray, you're 80 years old. If you haven't done it yet, what are you going to do? And, you know, of course, Ray was always had another idea and a bigger idea, and he was ready to roll with it. But I remember thinking to myself in that conversation, well, Dale, you're only 20 years behind him, and in reality, you're in the same shape. If you don't get done what you're going to do, you might not get it done. And it made me stop and think, and in this 10, 12 weeks made me really stop and think about what is important to me, why is it important, and how am I going to prioritize what is important to me? How am I going to change, or do I need to change how that looks? If I pay attention, there are so many things that are fighting for my attention. And they're often the wrong things get prioritized, and then I'm left sitting trying to figure out why. While I was studying for this, I read a story about a man who read an ad for a local gym. The ad said that they would guarantee him to lose 20 pounds and to be more physically fit in as little as 6 months. So he joined the gym. James, I had to think of you when you said that. It was expensive, but he figured it was worth the cost to lose the 20 pounds and get back into shape. When he joined, they weighed him, took all his measurements to compare in 6 months, and after 6 months, he went back and he had actually gained several pounds and was still not in any better shape. So he goes to the manager and he complains and he says, "You guaranteed this." And the manager asked him, "How often did you come and work out?" And he was dumbfounded. "What do you mean? No one ever actually told me I had to do anything. They only said if I joined, they would guarantee I would lose weight." And we chuckle at that. And we know that that's probably not a true story. At least I hope it's not. Because if it is, it shows you a little bit about the guy that he may not want to know. But we all know that life doesn't work that way. We only get out of something what we put into it. You will never get out of life anything unless you engage and unless you invest. I can have all kinds of money accounts, I can have investments, but if I don't engage with those investments, they're going to do me no good. They're going to sit right there and become stagnant. And it's the same thing in my own life. If I don't invest in what's a priority, it's going to go away. Period. The first text I want to look at this morning is Colossians 3. Verses 18 through 25 is specifically what I want to look at. But just to do a little background in Colossians, Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and he is giving them some instructions on day-to-day living. And all three of the texts that we're going to look at this morning are basically Paul giving the church instructions on how to live life. And in chapter 2 of Colossians, in verse 6, he says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." And then you come over into chapter 3, he starts chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and he says, "If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth." Then we go to chapter 3, verse 18 is where we're going to pick up, and I'm going to read these verses 18 through 25. "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism." Now, if you look at those verses, there's instructions for everybody. Wives to husbands to wives, children to parents, fathers to children, servants to masters. And then he says in verse 23, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men." So all of the way that I respond to my wife, my children, my husband, my boss, the church, all of that is a response to my relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a reflection of what my relationship with Jesus Christ is. And so if any of those are out of whack, there's a reflection in my relationship with Christ. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Verses 1 through 10. I got the wrong one here. There we go. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to anybody else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." And the one point that I want to pull out of here is actually in verses 7 and 8. "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Very simply, You don't plant oats and get coastal Bermuda or barley or wheat. You're going to get oats. So if we sow whatever we sow, whether it is whatever we invest ourselves in, is what we're going to reap. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, I'm going to back up just a little bit. I'm not going to read it. But if you go back to chapter 6, 7, and 8, Paul is again talking to the church at Corinth, and he's giving them instructions on marriage relationships, church relationships, world relationships. He's giving them instructions on living, just living life. And I want to pick up in verse 24. Actually, let me back up. He also then in chapter 9, he comes into talking about his rights as an apostle. He talks about eating meat offered to idols. And Paul simply said, listen, I have no problem eating meat offered to idols. Why is it a problem? He says, because an idol is nothing. So what does it matter if somebody has offered that meat to idols because they've offered it to nothing? My relationship is with Christ. But he said, I'm willing to give up my rights so that I don't offend someone. I am willing to give up all of what I believe. No, back up. Not all of what I believe. I am willing to give up what I believe I can do for the rights of others. I am willing to give up my rights for you. And then he goes on, and he talks about his relationship with the church in his evangelism. But then he comes down into verse 24, and it's the verses that we want to pick up on. Do you not know that in a race all the runners win, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it a slave, make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Four things that Paul addresses here. All run. One receives the prize. In the Christian life, all run, and all can receive the prize. There's the difference between there and running in a marathon. In a marathon, one person's going to be the winner. Then you come in after that, wherever you come in. But in the Christian life, everyone runs to a certain extent. Everyone that runs receives the prize. Verse 25, he says, there is a reward of self-control. There is a reward of beating my body into submission. It's not really a picture I like, but it's the picture Paul uses. James, he's painfully aware of that right now. That's why I don't run. But it is a picture that is important to us. Again, I only get what I invest in. Then in verse 26, he says, I run with intention. I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. I don't know how many of you saw the video of Arlen Flick. He is the world record holder for the 100-mile race. He ran 100 miles and holds the world record. He's a young man from Ohio. I watched the last 7 minutes, and it wore me out. I was so tired by the time he got to the end that I needed a break. But he doesn't do it aimlessly. They said he gets up in the morning, and who was I talking to just the other week? He and his brother both like to run. Curtis, you were saying it. He and his brother both love to run. He gets up in the morning. What does he run every day? 50 or 60 miles before everybody else is up? Maybe, well, either way, 20's a long ways. But to run 100 miles straight, I'm like, he's crazy. That's an opinion. But he runs with intention. The intention is to win. And then in verse 27, discipline brings reward. Somewhere in our travels this summer, I saw a sign that stuck with me, and I believe it is true. Failing to plan is planning to fail. I want you to think about that just a minute. Failing to plan is planning to fail. According to Lifeway Research Group and Promise Keepers and Baptist Press, these are some surprising statistics that I'm going to go through it twice because it takes a minute to pick up on it. If a father does not go to church, even if his wife does, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. If a father does go to church regularly, regardless of what the mother does, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will attend church as adults. Now, we've gone from 1 in 50 to 2/3, maybe 3/4, if the father attends. If a father attends church irregularly, between 1/2 and 2/3 of their children will attend church with some regularity. If a mother does not go to church, but a father does, a minimum of 2/3 of their children do not attend church. So you see how much the father affects this statistic? Another study by the same group focused on Sunday school found similar results on the impact of fathers. Now listen to these. This is where it really gets striking. Not just attending church, but attending Sunday school and church. And I'm quoting these to help us as parents realize the impact we have, and fathers specifically, the impact we have on our children. When both parents attend Bible study in addition to the Sunday service, 72% of their children attend Sunday school when grown. When only the father attends Sunday school, 55% of the children attend when grown. When only the mother attends Sunday school, 15% of the children attend when grown. When neither parent attends, only 6% attend when grown. How important is that? How important is it for me to be intentional as a father, as a parent, as a couple, in the way that we live our life? Back to the illustration I used at the beginning. Yes, we all understand that to think you could get results from something and not invest is impossible, but how often do we live our lives like that? We want to do life by the seat of our pants and expect things to be different. We must look at these questions and live accordingly. When we looked at a schedule for this summer, I was at the point where I said, I don't care, just make the schedule. I'll go where you tell me to go. That didn't work out too good. I did have to give input. But I didn't want to plan. I was like, just let's do whatever. You figure it out, I'll go. It didn't work out that way. I had to give input because Phyllis wanted input from me. But we had to sit down and figure out what are the priorities? What is important? Why is it important? And how do I prioritize what is important to me? In Colossians 3, the Apostle Paul gives us some great words of advice. Writing to the church at Colossae, Paul had been giving them specific instructions on how to live as Christians. At home, at church, in the marketplace, everywhere. And in these verses, he points to the same principle that we've been talking about. If you want to get anything out of life, you have to invest. Whether it's your physical life or your spiritual life, you have to put something into it. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Whatever you do in life, whether that's your job, taking care of your family, going to school, trying to get in shape, trying to strengthen your relationship with God. Paul says you should work at it with all your heart. No matter what you do it wholeheartedly. You don't need to just try to get by. You need to give it your all. Do all that you can to put into life as much as you can so that you can get as much out of life as possible. Back to the verse in 1 Corinthians 9. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body, make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. That verse literally means I do everything possible to win. I make it a priority. My priorities in life will become my children's priorities. Whether it's work, whether it's sports, whether it's hunting, it doesn't matter. My priorities will become my children's priorities. And if I do not prioritize, they will live their life the same way. It is important to do that. If you want to change something, don't just talk about it. Do something about it. So I want to leave you with the question this morning. Are you giving it your all? So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body, keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want to win. I want to win. And I want to live my life to win. That's the challenge this morning. How are you doing? Are you going to win? Or are you going to give up? Hopefully not. Brian, do you have a song? 755 in the Faith and Praise. You can stand. Father, again this morning, we come to you grateful for your word. We're grateful for the fellowship that we have with each other and the fellowship that we have with you. Father, it is good to be here with this body, with this group of believers, with this family. And this morning, I pray that you would help us. Help us to live life intentionally. Each of us. We get distracted. There's things that distract us quickly. Sometimes because we don't have a choice, and sometimes because we get lazy. Help us not to be lazy. Help us to invest first in our relationship with you and to allow our other relationships to reflect that. This morning I pray that as we leave this place today, as we go out, as we go home, as we go to work, as we go and do the things that are before us this week, that our lives would be a reflection of that relationship with you. Go with us. Help us, Father, to live our lives with integrity this week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think the first and the last.